Bjorn, this is a big season for John Adams. It's his 70th birthday, and the St. Louis Symphony, we are sort of at the epicenter of all of the activities. Can you talk about the significance for our orchestra being such a prominent role in the celebration of John Adams' birthday?
Absolutely. I mean, it's a huge honor to be able to pay tribute to this composer who is arguably the greatest of our generation. And he has such a respect for this orchestra. And in turn, we have a great respect for him. And I think that comes across in our performances of his music, in our recordings of his music, which have received Grammy Awards. And I think it's also a testament to the esteem that he holds us, that for one of the big Carnegie Hall events this year, celebrating his 70th birthday, is the St. Louis Symphony performing his Gospel According to the Other Mary on March 31st. And to be there in New York in the hub and performing this massive work of John's, I think it's really a wonderful thing for us and for the audience of New York and for John Adams.
So this weekend is the release of Scheherazade Point 2, which was recorded in February with the St. Louis Symphony, David Robertson and Leila Josefowitz. Simultaneously, we are recording John Adams' Violin Concerto with the St. Louis Symphony, David Robertson and Leila Josefowitz. Why do you think John Adams has chosen the St. Louis Symphony and David Robertson as his recording orchestra at this point?
Well, I think it's for a number of reasons. First of all, David Robertson, of course, has an incredible technique and ability to take these newer works and breathe life and energy into them. And I think he is respected as kind of the leading interpreter of newer music, I think, in our generation. I think the St. Louis Symphony as well is kind of appreciated in the same light. We are known for not only our beautiful lyrical playing of standard repertoire, but we're also very adept at performing new music and very hard new music. And so I think the combination of David Robertson plus the St. Louis Symphony and our particular skill sets, when they come together, something special happens. And then when you add on Leila Josefowitz to this whole mix as well, that kind of is like the spark that ignites something even greater. It's greater than the sum of all parts, because she has this innate ability to take new works and internalize them and perform them as though they were the most standard of works for the violin. And she has this way, and it's very rare to hear somebody perform newer music with such complete dedication and having internalized it to such a degree. So what you get is a performance that's so compelling and it's so convincing because she knows it and she tells you this story better than anybody else could. And that's the special part about working with her on these projects.
The first rehearsal, John Adams was in the audience watching, following along, running up back and forth from the stage. Mm-hmm. What is it like having the composer actually in the hall at the same time when you are rehearsing one of his pieces?
It's an incredible treat. You know, it's a little bit like the star-studded person who's out there, and you realize that's the major force behind all of this. And so there's a sense of wanting to play even better because you want to pay tribute and deference to this wonderful work and this wonderful composer. But the neat thing, you know, so much of the world that we live in is playing music by composers who are now no longer with us. Some have been gone for hundreds of years. And so you never have the opportunity to walk up to a composer and say, what did you mean by this? Or why did you go this way? Or is this note correct? I mean, we don't have the luxury. And so you have to do a lot of kind of prognosticating and soothsaying and, you know, looking at the stars and tea leaves to try to make sure that you are paying homage to what these composers intended. But when you have somebody like John Adams sitting there, you can walk up to him and ask him. There's another project that we are working on. I'm playing a string quartet next week at the Pulitzer Foundation with pianist Orly Shaham, David Robertson's wife. And the quartet has been rehearsing now for a couple of weeks and kind of getting really into this piece. But with every piece, there's going to be some questions. There's questions about notes and about accidentals and about duration or how they interpreted this. And so the other day, I was able to walk up to John Adams with a score of his piece, ask him on the spot if this is what he intended or if this note was correct. And that is such a rare treat. It just makes it so meaningful for a performer when you have that access to a composer.
So switching gears from Adams to Beethoven, Symphony No. 3, the Eroica, huge piece, how do you shift gears from, you know, an explosive contemporary work with Leila Josephowitz to all of a sudden going back to Beethoven?
You know, going back to Beethoven always feels to me in a way like you're looking forward. Beethoven, as we kind of realized, was ahead of his time by a long shot. And, you know, you have this piece on the first half, The Atoms, which is explosive and it's very dynamic. But then you come in to the Beethoven and the first two chords are these huge E-flat chords. And it is incredibly powerful and visceral. And so it's a great transition, actually, to kind of come in and then play this bombastic piece. The Beethoven Symphony is definitely one of my all-time favorites. And it truly kind of searches the entire human emotional spectrum. And I think the Funeral March in particular is one of my favorites. It has such poignancy. You can feel the pain and the hurt. But then it has this confidence and almost aggression and, you know, railing against the heavens. It takes you on a journey that it's hard to come away unmoved.
I have to ask you also about your, I don't want to call it a side gig, but your very successful, the 442s. First of all, how do you describe the 442s in terms of, I say, classical jazz, fusion?
We have always had a hard time kind of quantifying what we do. It's two members of the symphony and two members of the wonderful local jazz kind of tradition and community here in St. Louis. We are doing completely original music. Just the other day, we had our culminating event of our artist in residency at Forest Park, where we spent 30 plus hours in the park making music and soliciting interactions with passersby. And we synthesized that down. Adam Manis, who is our pianist, wrote a piece that included video and audio footage of that, plus us performing live with that. And so that was a really fun kind of experience for us and a great way to kind of culminate the first ever Artist in Residence program with Forest Park. And so that group is such a fun part of my life because it fills me up in many ways. We have a lot of really fun concerts coming up. We're doing a big stint at the Jazz at the Bistro on October 26th and 27th. And then our big holiday spectacular, it's the second year we've done this at the 560 Music Building on December 20th, which is a Tuesday right before Christmas. And we're flying in Jeremy Davenport, the famous jazz trumpeter who is originally from here. And we are collaborating with Peter Martin, the pianist, Aaron Bodie and Brian Owens, both fantastic singers, Montez Coleman, the wonderful drummer, and then the 442s. And we're performing a whole concert of holiday kind of favorites in conjunction with the release of our Christmas album with all of those same people. We're just having so much fun kind of collaborating and finding other opportunities for making music and creating new projects. And so that's another fun part of my musical life.
And I just have to ask you, how do you find time for all of this now that you have two kids? And
yeah, I don't know. There's not many nights where I am sitting home. It feels like I'm always off doing something or rehearsing. So it's tiring, but it's so rewarding. And I love my family life and my beautiful little girls, Inga and Freya. Last night, you know, our little Inga is 2 years old and she's starting to realize more and more about what I do. And last night when I left to go for a concert, I said, okay, Daddy needs to go to work. And I guess after I left, she started crying and she was really sad because she said, you know, Inga, you know, Daddy goes play with symphony and Inga has to stay home. And she didn't like that. She wanted to come and be a part of it. So it's kind of fun to see her become more aware of what it is that I do. And I guess she's getting used to the weird schedule that I lead.
Thanks, Bjorn.
Thank you.